out there, everybody. This is Caffeination number 277, 277th episode here at the Caffeination Podcast. And I got one more big number for you. That's 15. That's right, 15 years is the title for this episode. Why is that? Because this episode and the emotion that are going into it right from the top of it are actually sparked by 15 years of waiting. If you follow me over at Twitter, if you know me from anywhere else, you know that I'm an avid sports fan, specifically a fan of the hometown teams, primarily in baseball, hockey, and football. And I got to tell you, when the hometown team wins, it's one thing. But when the hometown team, the Philadelphia Phillies, is going to the World Series for the first time since I was 13, it is a completely different level of emotion. So I am ecstatic. I am pumped. It is 12:50 in the morning, and I am just starting to record an episode. This is, of course, the Caffeination Podcast. We're going to be talking a lot about technology news and caffeine and a whole bunch of other things. There's a lot of really serious topics floating around the inner tubes lately, but you know what? It is my job as host of the Caffeination Podcast to provide you with just a little bit of levity, a little bit of knowledge, and in this case, a little bit of fandom to kind of creep into your show. I hope I'm not interfering too much with everything else. I just got to tell you, it's like when I was on Twitter and I was trying to boil down what this means to the people of Philadelphia, and I was speaking with somebody from New York, and he said, "Well, you know, what's the big deal?" And not of the fact that they were going to the World Series. And I said, "Well, let me put it into perspective for you. No one has won anything in Philadelphia since I was 3 years old. I do not remember a championship, and I'm 28 years old right now." So it's one of those things where it's like most people, if you live in a city that has the four major sports teams, then you kind of, if you live in or around a city that has four major sports teams, then you kind of have been associated in some way or another with a championship team. The Philadelphia Phillies have been in existence for 126 years, and they have one championship. So this is rare. There's six times in 126 years that the Phillies have made it to the World Series. And you know what? This is one of those years. So you cannot break my style. You cannot bring me down. I'm in a great mood to give you the rest of this episode. Hopefully you'll enjoy it, and hopefully you don't mind a little bit of a different tone at the beginning of the show. On today's show, you are going to hear about any and all the following topics: sports, baseball, Twitter, Lego, green tech, costumes, coffee, and April Fools. We've already talked about sports and baseball, so the rest of the stuff is what you're going to get here on today's show. I'd like to tell you a little bit about our sponsor for today's show. If you have to travel for business, then I have great news. There is an easier and more affordable way: GoToMeeting, the award-winning service that lets you hold meetings over the internet with people in multiple locations. Just log on to GoToMeeting.com and start meetings with just a click. Instantly, everyone on the computer can see your desktop on all of their monitors. It's like the meeting in person, but with less expenses and much less time consuming. Meet from your office, your hotel room, or your home anytime, anywhere. Plus, you can hold as many meetings as you want for one flat rate. Try GoToMeeting free right now for 30 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/techpodcasts. That's GoToMeeting.com/techpodcasts. You do more and travel less with GoToMeeting. I'd like to thank GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor of the Caffeination Podcast. And just in case I forget, because I think I did, you can find this and all of the other episodes over at the Caffeination homepage, which is coincidentally enough is caffeination.com, www.caffeination.com. If you'd like to send comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail, and you don't feel like leaving it under the episode, which you know you're more than welcome to do, you can please feel free to fire one of them off over to caffeination@gmail.com, and I will get back to you as quick as I can. So, this is a great episode we got lined up for you here. We have a little bit of tech cruft and a decent amount of caffeine and food, and we have one initial announcement right off the top. My very good friend through the Tech Podcast Network, of which the Caffeination is a proud member. If it's tech, it's here and there. Over at the Totally Cool Tech Podcast, one Norbert Davis is celebrating 1 year of doing daily podcasts. It is a fantastic accomplishment for what he has done. He's done over 260 episodes in 1 year, where he reviews a different product. He talks about all of the totally cool tech, as you would imagine, for a podcast of that name. But he talks about it every day. It is an insanely awesome podcast. It's short, it's sweet, it's to the point, and it's unbelievably informative. So I would highly suggest you head on over to totallycooltech.com and check out the 1 year anniversary giveaway that he's currently running over there. They're doing a great great little giveaway where he's going to be giving out six total prizes. 2 4-gig SanDisk micro thumb drives, 3 $10 gift cards to Best Buy or iTunes, your call, and the top prize of a $25 gift card to either Best Buy or iTunes. Once again, your call. You can head on over there and check out the ways in which you can enter through Norbert Davis, the host of the Totally Cool Tech Podcast. And I'd like to thank Norbert for periodically giving us totally cool links. That's the only way I've actually been able to define them. He has a habit for finding some of the coolest and most interesting stuff that we talk about here on the Caffeination Podcast. If you remember back to where we talked about the Lego Terminator head, then that's from him, among many other links that he sent in. So I would highly suggest, and I actually would plead with you, the fine listeners of the Caffeination Podcast, to head on over to totallycooltech.com, take his survey, and enter yourself in to win some swag. It's always good, so I just wanted to head you on over that direction, and congratulations from the very bottom of my podcastable heart, Norbert, from the Caffeination Podcast to you. I wish you many happy years in the future. And here's a little quick tip. We've done 277 episodes. Me, over almost 3 years now. In January, it'll be 3 years. In 1 year, that man has done 264 podcasts, so he's going to eclipse me before the next month is out. That's insane. So big congratulations to him. All right, diving right on into the TechCraft section here at the Caffeination Podcast, we have a thermostat. Now, you might not think a thermostat is very interesting, but you know what? One of the easiest ways in which people are telling you you can save money, you know, through green tech and green living and green this and green that, is that you can just change your regular old thermostat out for a programmable or a smart thermostat. So where if you have, like we do, just a little analog display on the wall, you turn it to where you want it to be, either hot or cold, because it does kind of dual purpose. Then, you know, you're missing a little bit of the functionality that's available in some of the modern units. For instance, the ability to set times and temperatures in multiple fields. One of the things that I've seen in another thermostat is actually the ability to just plan out your entire week from one thermostat. It's just an insane level of detail that I would only be able to aspire to. But now I have an even newer gadget to play with, and I gotta love the form factor for this. It's rather sleek. It sits up against the wall and has a completely touch panel display, which any really cool technology has to have at this point in time. Across the top, it has a very old school thermometer. This, of course, is in Fahrenheit, because it's a link from one of the United States things. I'm pretty sure it could rock out some Celsius or centigrade or whatever you feel like calling it. It would be really nice if the entire planet would just kind of standardize on one thing, or rather if the United States would just kind of go ahead and standardize on what everybody else is using. It would be really nice, I got to tell you. The whole metric thing, the whole imperial measurements kind of really get in the way of a lot of useful and discourse sometimes, because you say, oh, you know, well, how hot is it? I mean, just even talking about the weather is a pain in the rear end when you have international friends, because you have to kind of understand that, okay, if they say it's 30 degrees out, it might not be cold. So just wanted to kind of, but I wanted to point you to this one specifically because it has a whole bunch of different features. One of them, it's called the Smart Thermostat. It's Wi-Fi connected, so you can actually control things from a base station. It's $385, which is a little bit steep, but I got to say, even the most bland, plain vanilla programmable thermostat is going to be at least $200. So you're already looking at, you know, okay, maybe double the standard model. They're saying from the energy savings alone, and you'll be able to make that money back within the first 12 to 18 months. Usually when you're talking about green technology, you're talking about years and years and years in which you can make the money back. So that's one of the things that kind of caught my eye and said, all right, well, I wonder what you're going to be able to do. So apparently you're going to be able to program in different things. Like if you're going on vacation, you can have it warm up a little bit during the day. You can have different zones. You can have all other kinds of crazy stuff. You can have quick saves so that you can actually pull stuff up from like the winter. So let's just say you have a winter thing where you know that you're going to be out of the house from 6:30 in the morning until roughly 5:30 at night. So what you want to do is you want to have the house a little bit chillier during the winter months. You don't want to have to kick the heat on for the whole day. So you can let it sit at a nice, comfortable temperature, a little bit low, save yourself some coin on the heating bills, and then when you're coming home, you can actually ramp it up. I'm pretty sure you would also be able to actually control it over the net if you were so inclined, and actually say, you know what, I'm going to be coming home early today. Would you mind heating the house up a little bit for me? Or if what we've been experiencing around here is, you know, not that we're using the air conditioning or anything, but if you go out the house in the morning and it's a really chilly day and you're like, okay, you have all the windows closed or whatever, and then all of a sudden, you know, it starts to get really hot and muggy, well, if the windows are already closed and it's hot and muggy and you were just kind of waiting it out because it was chilly, you'd be able to go online and flip this sucker on before you even got home, and it would be nice and cool. It kind of even it out. So a whole bunch of different automation techniques that are available at the Ecobee. So it's kind of interesting, kind of cool. It's around $400, so I wanted to kind of pass it along to you. All right. Up next is probably one of the most gorgeous sculptures that I've ever seen. This is a hand-carved, or rather, it's a laser-carved, hand-designed replica of Wall-E, the Pixar animation robot, and it's done entirely in wood. It's laid out, it's inlaid, it's probably a perfect dead-to-rights kind of little setup of what Wall-E was actually supposed to be, and it is unbelievably gorgeous. Everything is like milled with it within like a thousandth of an inch. It's all laser cut, and everything fits together really kind of snugly. And the funny thing is, this thing isn't for sale. Why? Because John Lasseter, the CEO, the creative chief, the man behind Pixar, has dibs, basically. So he either owns it or commissioned it. We don't even know, but it's going to be late. This thing is like the standard from which I will measure all future wooden models. Just wanted to kind of put that out there because I thought it was so awesome, and the fact that, you know, when you see something like this, you're like, okay, maybe it's a hobbyist or something, but no, it actually goes all the way up to the top. This, if it wasn't commissioned, it probably should be, just because it's that well done. I'd love to see them do something else, like maybe a Lightning McQueen, but Wall-E was very kind of special because he was made entirely out of, you know, a very recognizable, very easily sculpted wood pieces, I guess. So it adds a different kind of thing to it because, you know, since he's a robot, it's kind of antithetical a little bit to have him made out of wood. So I thought it was pretty cool. All right, up next, the almost obligatory Lego story here, but this is Legos like I've never seen them before. This is called a Lego Radiator. Apparently, the extra surface area that the actual block surface on top of a Lego allows you to have is ideal for creating a radiator out of. So this isn't like a Lego lamp or a Lego couch or anything else that you build. This is an entirely different system that just happens to have this kind of form factor to it. It actually allows you to add extra heating panels to it by clipping them onto the front. It has all kinds of interesting little gadgets and gizmos. And There's no word on how much it would cost, but I got to tell you, if you saw one of these in a child's playroom, this would probably be the most interesting and perfect implementation of a radiator, where you could have it, you know, sit design unseen in a child's room, and it would be completely in place, or a daycare or something like that. It's really kind of low profile, so I wonder how they would work something like this into a more adult setting. Maybe have black Legos or something. I don't even know, but it's really, really neat. So I just wanted to kind of pass the link along to you. This one's over at Gizmodo.com. All right, moving right along. Probably the worst mashup that I have seen in quite some time. You know what? Bike innovation, bikes being probably the ultimate green technology up until this point. It's entirely auto locomotion. You are responsible for your own power. So it's kind of easy to say, yes, this is a very eco-friendly way of motoring about. And speaking of motoring about, there's a hack that was recently done that slapped a two-stroke engine to a bicycle, so there's no pedaling required. It's just kind of a gas-powered bicycle. I agree with the sentiment over at device.com that I think this is pretty much a sad hack, and a couple years ago this would have been great. A couple years ago somebody would have said, you know what, that's awesome. It has a 120 mile range, it can go up to speeds of 40 miles an hour, that's fantastic. And while I'm pretty sure that it sips gas compared to a lot of the other vehicles that are out there, it's a bike. You took a $25 bike that you got from a flea market and you put an engine on it. That completely ruins the green factor for it. And I'm pretty sure that you're not going to have a lot of emissions control on it. So, I mean, it's a great idea. I really feel bad for the guy because his idea is probably about 5 years too late. All right, Moving right along. When you want to be safe, but you still want to play a couple rounds of golf, you might want to consider getting one of these. This is a bulletproof polo shirt. I have no clue how it's bulletproof because it doesn't look very thick. But apparently it's from a company called Caballero, and it's their Black Label line. They actually had a link not too long ago that I kind of kicked out of the Caffeination because it was pretty cool. It just didn't really kind of fit in. But it was actually a technology that allowed you to have a bulletproof handkerchief for all those times when you're going to sneeze and you don't want to get shot in the face. But apparently it's since the handkerchief on a men's suit actually sits directly over the heart, they figured it would be a relatively easy place to put a piece of bulletproof plating, and it's rather unobtrusive because of what it was. It was the handkerchief. So I don't know how much plating's actually involved in the bulletproof polo shirt, but it's $12,000 for an anti-ballistic shirt. It's crazy. There's no way I could see this. I mean, yeah, maybe a couple South American presidents or something like this might end up buying them, but I really don't see a market for it other than the fact that they're doing it because they can. So unless we're going to be sending soldiers out there in polo shirts and Ray-Bans, I think we might just have to push this along to the side for right now. All right, moving right along, a little story that we have up over at Slashdot. I got to tell you, Linux finally gets treated right, and it's really kind of making me feel pretty good. The only problem is there's a little bit of a high school thing to this. Apparently, Linux, this is one of the major problems I have with the operating system, or just Linux distributions in general. They are really kind of far behind on certain new programs that come out. Like, for instance, Flash, which is what this story is about, took for absolute ever to get it onto certain systems. And even to this day, if you have an old Mac PowerBook laying around, you can't put a really workable version of. So it really limits the functionality that I was going to use my laptop for. I had a PowerBook, installed it, it was fantastic, it was nice and quick. I went to run Flash, I went to actually do some surfing because I was going to use it as an internet workstation, and it completely bombed out. And they never actually opened the thread up to do Flash on a PowerPC after the fact. So it just kind of went by the wayside. All right, now, as recently as, according to this, as recently as 2007, Linux users waited 6 months for Flash 9 to release. To arrive. Now, as of today, Adobe Corporation released Flash 10 for the Linux concurrently with all of the other platforms it supports. So Macs, PCs, and Linux all came out at the same time, and which is kind of unprecedented with some of the different software vendors that are out there, specifically with Adobe, which is kind of notorious for pushing people off to the side. They're a very large entity. Think Microsoft, but with, like, paintbrushes. And it's really kind of refreshing to see Linux get treated like this. The only thing is, it is entirely the responsibility of Microsoft as to why Linux is starting to get treated better. It's basically because Microsoft is rolling out their new Flash replacement called Silverlight. And from what I've seen, Silverlight seems remarkably good. It seems rather respectable for what it is. And I've had to use it on a couple of different services. If you wanted to watch the internet Olympics online, if you wanted to watch the internet online, you'd probably have a little bit harder time. But if you wanted to watch the Olympics online, you needed this kind of stuff installed. So it was nice. It was clean. It wasn't as crisp as some of the other services that I've seen out there that use Flash or even other different video codecs that are out there. But it was nice, and, you know, I would consider using it in a future project if I had to design for that. But yeah, what Adobe is trying to do is they're trying to say Flash is universal. It works on everything. So it's kind of like when you're standing in the hallway in high school and an attractive girl comes up to you, or an attractive man, depending on your persuasion and or your gender, and you get a little bit of a smooch, and then she or he turns around, sees their ex over their shoulder just to make them jealous. It's one of those kind of things. That's what it feels like. It's like Linux is getting the right treatment right now, but you know, as soon as Microsoft were to drop Silverlight, pretty much Flash 10 is probably going to be the last version of Flash you're going to see for a very long time. While there's still a lot of stuff out there, like Real Player for Linux, but a lot of other stuff just really hasn't kind of caught on yet. So the more packages and things that come out for Linux kind of concurrently, the better of an option Linux will actually end up being. All right, moving on over to mopo.ca. Just a little one-off here. I actually clicked through all the different links. There's no more information on this other than the fact this is a really cool kind of installation of 8-bit art. What it is it's a bunch of pixels that are pouring out of a drain pipe in New York City. So imagine just a bunch of square blocks pouring out of the pipe like it was water, and then arranged like an old Nintendo-style puddle on the ground. That's all it is. I thought it was awesome, so I thought I would pass it along to you. All right, another little weird but one-off kind of thing is I Ain't Afraid of No Bid. One of the three original cars from the original Ghostbusters movie, Ecto-1, is for sale. This one was used primarily in the Universal Studios Florida over the last 15 years. It is the car that was sitting there, so I don't know exactly how much wear and tear is on it, but you too can own it. This is a 1959 Cadillac Miller Meteor Ecto-1. So there are two original cars used in the film, and this one was built exclusively for Universal Studios. So there's only three of these things ever actually built. So this one was not used in the film. Sorry about that. The auction currently sits at around $45,000. So if you have that kind of coin laying around, you don't feel like giving it to me, which, well, you know, you may or may not. Just wanted to put it out there. Then you two can head on over there and actually put a nice bid in. It's over at eBay Motors. So if you're not afraid to know Ghost, well, you can show them with that. All right, up next we have yet another fun little thing from over at TrendHunter.com. And this is a series of rather interesting and fun Halloween costumes that are made entirely out of trash. They have bats, they have skeletons, they have ninja warriors, and they have strange men that are festooned entirely with baby dolls in the different configurations. I don't even know what to make of that. I gotta tell you, I love the one that is actually like a little kid in a samurai outfit, and it's made like all out of corrugated cardboard. But my absolute favorite one is the one that I linked directly to. It's photos fours of Eco Halloween costumes. This is a giant Lego man. So I would love to make this costume to wander around in. I just don't have that much cardboard handy. This is a great idea for a costume. It is just begging to be made. And of course, being with how much and how often we talk about Legos, I just had to pass it along to you. And that about wraps it up for the TechCruft section here at the Caffeination Podcast. Oh, I'm sorry. I missed one little thing. There's an interesting little toy that I found that I may have showed to people before, but I wanted to kind of bring it out again. There's a speak and spell, so for some reason it's not actually working. That's actually kind of relatively irritating. But there's a speak and spell that you can actually play with online. Speak and spell is one of the iconic toys from when I was growing up. It's looks basically like a tablet PC now, but you'd turn it on and you'd hit buttons. It would ask you to spell different words, and you'd hit the letter, and it was like A, E, and it was kind of very loud and metallic, and there was no real way around it, but it's kind of the precursor to all the educational games and everything that you see out there right now. Well, they have an entirely flash version of it, so you can head on out and play around with it. I really wanted to kind of play with it so you could hear it, but for some reason, it's just not working here on today's show. All right, that about wraps it up, like I said, now completely and utterly for the TechCraft on today's episode of the Caffeination Podcast. Just a quick little rundown. If you are listening to this on the stream over anywhere, then you can find it lovingly nestled with all of its episodic buddies over at www.caffeination.com. That, coincidentally enough, is caffeination.com, and this, of course, is the Caffeination Podcast, so it all kind of works out in the end. And if you have comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail, or if you'd like to join the mailing list, please feel free to shoot me an email over to caffeination@gmail.com, and I will get back to you as soon as I possibly can. So if you'd like to join our mailing list, which is basically just a copy of the show notes sent directly to you, then please feel free to just include that in the email, and I'll be sure to have you put into that list. There's no selling of email addresses. There's none of that other malarkey. Just wanted to kind of be able to share with you the show notes as they come out, so that way you just have the content a little bit earlier. All right, moving right along, going to dig into the caffeine and food section, and we're going to head you on out our way, because it is past 1:20 in the morning. I don't even know what I'm going to do tomorrow morning, but I'm still kind of riding the high. It's really kind of cool, but Up first, we have a rather interesting collection from over at Web Urbanists. They call this 20 Creative, Artistic, and Geeky Cake Designs. Now, some of these are ones we've talked about before, like the iPhone cake and the series of cupcakes that actually create a scene from Pac-Man. And I still got to tell you, that is probably one of my favorite designs just because it was really done well. It's a black fondant on the top of cupcakes with a different shaped cupcake fondant rolled out and cut on the other one. Then there's also a series of cupcakes in the thing next to it where they're actually mini cupcakes, and the mini cupcakes were actually, you know, a 3D Pac-Man and everything like that. They, of course, have a cake that's a diorama of the bridge of the original Starship Enterprise. There is a giant Millennium Falcon. There's a giant cake R2-D2. There's a giant Jabba the Hutt. Some of these we've seen before, like I said, but I've never seen Jabba before, and I've never seen the I think I may have seen the Death Star, but I've never seen the Millennium Falcon. And probably my two favorite ones that they show here are the Jabba the Hutt one, and they also have a Rubik's Cube one, where the cube's actually in the process of being spun, so it's really kind of cool looking. So I just wanted to kind of put those out there, and hopefully you enjoy them. And I'd love to be able to actually get the recipe for some of them, because I'd like to find out what they taste like, but hey. All right, next up we have a little article from over at EnergyFiend.com. Apparently every third week lately, there's been a new story about how caffeine's the new gateway drug, energy drinks are bad, and this and that. And I just wanted to kind of link you to this article that they have over there, because I agree pretty much with the authors over at Energy Fiend, but I got to tell you, I'm getting really sick and tired of caffeine being kind of blamed for absolutely every single risky behavior that's out there. It's like people really don't want to take... don't want to take responsibility for their own actions. There are people out there who have addictive personalities, and those people shouldn't really consume anything to excess, and it doesn't mean that caffeine should be demonized. And unfortunately, it always is because of the different side effects and everything like that. And when things go wrong with caffeine, it's somewhat of an epic problem when they actually end, whereas if you were to go overboard on alcohol or something like that, you could be one of those people that people end up telling stories about for years on end. But the chances are kind of low. But if you go out on caffeine, you're going to go big or go home at that point. So I wanted to just kind of link the article up because I thought it was a relatively good explanation of some of the different problems. But it also kind of brings to light a lot of the different problems with the addiction moniker that's being put on caffeine. So it's not the fact that the beverages themselves are bad, even though some of them taste like junk. It's the fact that people are willing to do things to excess so often. And it leads to jokes like the next story that we have out there, and you may have found this before. This is called the Buzz Air. It's a metered dose caffeine inhaler. Imagine a asthma inhaler that when you squeeze it, you actually get 150 milligrams of caffeine, through direct inhalation. Now, the funny thing is that I've seen people reporting on this as if it was real. And the really funny thing is this is one of the products that they had linked up on ThinkGeek for April Fool's Day. They always have something with caffeine. They're always pretty good and pretty on point with it. It's just really hilarious that for some reason, some of the different news venues and things like that, some of the different mainstream media, even all these months after April, are still picking stories up like this and saying, see, this is the problem with things in the world. There's these kind of contraptions that allow people to consume caffeine to excess. No, there's no way you could ever have ordered one of these. This is an entirely fanciful thing designed entirely to make people laugh on one specific day of the year. You know what the problem is? We are well past that date, and you are still not laughing. So, all right, moving up to the last little thing that we have for you here on today's Caffeination Show. I had never thought about doing this until somebody in work recently suggested. But apparently they said that their mother actually roasted coffee beans on the stove. And I have no clue why I never made connection between one and two. I've always seen the self-contained roasters. I've seen people make modifications with popcorn poppers and stuff like that. And I would really... I'm seriously considering actually trying to buy some green beans to... green coffee beans, that is. Not regular green beans. While although they can be tasty, I don't really think they would taste good ground up and dried. So... I would be willing to actually try some green coffee beans, and I have a nice big cast iron skillet that and I have a bunch of metal whisks and everything, and that seems to be all you really need. I put an article up that was given to me. They said basically it's a general idea of how you're supposed to do it. I'm going to look for some more resources. There's a couple other places out there I'm pretty sure have better guides on it than this one, but I still wanted to kind of just put it out there to see if anybody else had any experience in actually roasting coffee beans pretty much in a pan on the stove, and things to avoid, things to try and take in. I might end up doing that. I might end up trying to take the pan out back. Since it is cast iron, it's pretty much indestructible. I might take the pan out back and do it on the grill instead, because I've heard that coffee beans smoke a lot when you're roasting them, so I don't really think that I need to kind of smoke the house out. So maybe one Saturday morning I'll head out back and fire up the grill for that. All right, that about wraps it up here for the Caffeination Podcast. I do, however, have a surprise for you at the end. Not necessarily huge, but it's kind of fun. I found this over at blip.fm. It's a version of Take Me Out to the Ball Game by Dr. John, the fantastic blues and Cajun musician, and I just had to share it with you. If you're not familiar with what blip.fm is, then you really need to head on over there and check it out. It's kind of like a way for you to build a playlist of music, and you know, pretty much out of music that other people have shared, and you can friend other people if you like their musical tastes, and you can actually get their song choices put into your playlist. And it's kind of an interesting different twist on how sharing of music happens. So just wanted to kind of play this. I thought it was pretty cool.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I never go back. Go to the root for the home team. And if they, I don't.
There's a lot more to that song. Just wanted to kind of play the refrain that everybody knows, and Dr. John's taking it home in the back end. And one more time, just want to kind of run down the things. This is the Caffeination Podcast. This was episode 277. Go Phils! You can find this show over at www.caffination.com. So thank you so much for listening. Stay caffeinated, people.